A ship captain once asked villagers to show him where Father Benjamin lived. The response surprised him. They didn't point to a house or a grave. Instead, they showed him flourishing gardens, healthy children, and thriving infrastructure. One man had chosen to invest his life in others, and decades after his death, his impact remained visible everywhere. This raises a haunting question we all eventually face. What will remain of your life after you're gone? Will your existence leave ripples that continue to spread, or will it simply fade like footprints washed away by the tide? Most of us rush through our days consumed by work deadlines and weekend plans, never pausing to consider whether we're building something that lasts. Yet deep down, you sense there's more to life than personal achievement and material success. You want to matter. You want your years to count for something beyond yourself. Can regular people truly change the world? History answers with a resounding yes. The Jerusalem Church began with just 120 members: fishermen, tax collectors, merchants, homemakers. No celebrities, no special credentials. Yet these ordinary folks possessed fire in their bellies to make a difference. Their impact echoes through two millennia, transforming the Roman Empire and beyond. Today, we face devastating global challenges. Nearly 2 billion people survive on less than $2 daily. 1 billion lack clean water. Over 40 million suffer in human trafficking. Yet here's the paradox. Our generation possesses unprecedented resources. We produce 1.5 times the necessary global food supply. America alone has enough vacant homes to house every orphan worldwide. The problem isn't scarcity, it's distribution and the will to act. Three questions should haunt us. Would you have opposed Hitler when speaking up meant risking everything? Would you have fought racism during the civil rights era when doing so could cost your life? And most urgently, how will your grandchildren judge your response to today's suffering? This is our once-in-history opportunity to become world changers, equipped with resources, technology, and knowledge no previous generation possessed. When Peter addressed the Jerusalem crowd after Pentecost, he presented Jesus through three divine endorsements: miracles proving God sent him, crucifixion fulfilling God's plan, and resurrection demonstrating God's power. When asked what to do, Peter answered directly, "Turn back to God, be baptized, receive forgiveness and the Holy Spirit." 3,000 responded that day. Like bread requiring planting, harvesting, and baking, Jesus underwent transformation to become our bread of life. While governments and relief organizations provide valuable physical help, and we should support these efforts, only Christ followers can offer eternal hope. The early church understood this dual mission, establishing food distribution for widows while fearlessly preaching in temple courts. Modern examples include medical missions combining healthcare with gospel sharing, and disaster relief teams rebuilding homes while building spiritual foundations. Physical needs matter tremendously, but spiritual transformation matters eternally. Long before pulpits and baptistries, the early church thrived through the simplest of tools, the home. They broke bread together daily with glad hearts, transforming ordinary meals into extraordinary encounters where lives were changed and faith strengthened. When you open your door to someone, you're sending a powerful message: you matter to me and to God. Genuine hospitality requires intentional effort. Issue sincere invitations rather than vague, "we should get together sometime" comments. Make arrivals feel special. Put down your phone, turn off the TV, focus on your guests. Address their needs promptly, create environments where conversation flows naturally, send them out with blessings. Biblical hospitality extends beyond entertaining friends and family. Jesus said, "When you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed." This radical inclusion distinguished the early church. Abraham unknowingly entertained angels. Disciples recognized the resurrected Jesus during a meal at Emmaus. In a world of drive-through meals and digital relationships, sharing your table might be the most countercultural and most needed ministry you can offer. When Peter and John encountered a beggar at the beautiful gate, they did something remarkable. They stopped and truly saw him. "Look at us," they commanded, locking eyes with such compassion that he gave them his full attention. This honest look is what we often avoid when facing human suffering. We avert our gaze from the homeless person, the cancer patient, the grieving widow. Yet Peter's declaration, "Silver and gold I do not have," was followed by something far more valuable, healing in Jesus' name. The beggar stood, walked, then leaped with joy. In Ethiopia, church members truly saw a drunk named Bzune when others looked through him. They helped him find sobriety through Christ and transformed cow manure into a thriving business through microfinance. Seeing people means recognizing their inherent dignity regardless of circumstances. Jesus modeled this perfectly, seeing Zacchaeus in the sycamore tree when others saw only a despised tax collector, noticing the widow's small offering when others were impressed by larger donations. When we truly see others, we understand their needs, and understanding leads to appropriate action. Jesus demolished walls of prejudice throughout his ministry. He engaged a Samaritan woman despite centuries of hatred, touched lepers when others recoiled, and challenged every social barrier. The early church followed this pattern. Peter and John celebrated revival in Samaria, while Philip ministered to an Ethiopian eunuch, breaking barriers of race, class, and physical difference. The cross creates a new humanity, unhindered by skin color or status. Maureen Buckner Fanning experienced this in post-bomb Nagasaki when Japanese Christians welcomed him as brother and served him communion, enemies in war just days before. We can't outlive our lives if we can't get beyond our biases. God will take us to our personal Samaria, not necessarily distant in miles, but different in styles, tastes, and traditions. When Christians cross dividing lines, the watching world sees a preview of heaven. Our unity amid diversity becomes one of our most powerful testimonies. Consider which walls need demolishing in your community: racial segregation, economic barriers, political divisions. Christ calls us to be demolition experts, equipped with the wrecking ball of divine love. The early Christians didn't know they were writing the book of Acts. They were simply living their faith. Their ordinary actions, empowered by God, changed history. Now it's our turn. Our generation faces unique challenges, but possesses unprecedented opportunities. The path forward begins with seeing needs through God's eyes and recognizing dignity in every person. It continues with opening our homes and hearts, crossing cultural and economic boundaries, and believing in people others have written off. These actions aren't reserved for spiritual giants. They're for ordinary people willing to make themselves available to God. The Jerusalem church consisted of uneducated fishermen, tax collectors, and homemakers. What made them exceptional wasn't their abilities, but their availability. Your greatest legacy won't be what you accumulate, but what you contribute. Not what you keep, but what you give away. You were made to make a difference. You were created to outlive your life.